The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Heather McDonald standing by. I promised to call in here. Just spoke with her. We're just a little bit behind with getting her on for the Manhattan Institute, one of the best resident scholars they have there. And we're going to talk a little bit about the changes in California just south of the border. That is bizarre as the changes have been here in the state of Oregon, that California may be turning almost like turning the corner earlier, if it's at all possible, possibly earlier than what is going on in the state of Oregon, away from the cliff. I don't know. We'll have a little conversation about that. Hey, Fred wrote me last night on Veterans Day, and I thought this was an interesting email that he sent. He says, "Hey, Bill, you have power and influence in Medford." I don't know about that, but well, I do have a voice here, Fred, but I appreciate that. What's it going to take for Medford to acknowledge Veterans Day? Central Point, Eagle Point, Ashland put Medford to shame. A dinky little parade, acknowledgement in a park, cemetery, something as the largest city in the county. Is anyone embarrassed? Maybe the new mayor and council? Army Specialist Fred Moran. All right, Fred. That's interesting. I hadn't really thought much about it because there were so many other events going on here in Southern Oregon. I mean, should Medford put on a Veterans Day parade? I don't know. Veterans Day may be a little bit more of a tough sell, Fred. And I'm spitballing a little bit this morning. Part of it being that Veterans Day is not a universal federal holiday in which everybody has the day off. In fact, we don't have the day off here in our world. It's not a holiday the same way as, let's say, Independence Day for July 4th, in which everybody has the day off, except, I guess, if you're working in some retail capacity. But, for me, it's just another work day, and I don't know if maybe that would work really well or not. I don't know if that is something that could actually work for us here in Oregon. But to be honest, though, if you want to have a Veterans Day parade in Medford, all you have to do then is I would then get veterans together that want to do this. Because remember, the cities don't put on parades as much as committees put on parades, and then they get permits from the city to do that. So maybe that's the direction to go. And maybe a Veterans Day parade would be something if the veterans would like to do that or get another organization involved in that. I think that might be something worth doing because even the Pear Blossom Parade is done by the Pear Blossom Committee, right? City of Medford doesn't do it per se, although I'm sure there's a lot of contributions to it, okay? All right. 12 minutes after 8, I'm so proud to have Heather McDonald, big brain scholar at the Manhattan Institute, on the program. Heather, it is a pleasure having you on. Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Bill. Great to be with you.
Heather, big changes in Oregon and in California especially. California appears to be turning away from going off the cliff, at least when it comes to law enforcement. Is that kind of your impression with what happened with Proposition 36? And I'm just wondering, since you're at the Manhattan Institute and you study this stuff all the time, all right, and what are you thinking? Is this part of a bigger major trend or just a temporary pullback in your view? What do you think?
I think it's a major trend. California has waited and waited and waited to finally reject the phony narrative that the criminal justice system is racist. There's been previous attempts to recall these left-wing prosecutors. They held on. California held on to its man-made crisis of street vagrancy and shoplifting and rampant theft and attacks on property and people. And finally, not just the vote for the Proposition 36, which repealed a very destructive earlier voter referendum, but I think as significant is the recall of George Gascon, the district attorney in Los Angeles County,
yes,
and Pamela Price, the district attorney in Alameda County, which is where Oakland is, East Bay of San Francisco. I misspoke. Gascon was not recalled. He was voted out of office. Pamela Price was recalled 2 years into her four-year term. California has been the leading edge of the so-called racial justice movement, and now even progressive voters in some of the most liberal cities in the country are saying enough is enough. It is not racist to lock away criminals.
Do you think that Oregon is as far along as reform as California may have been with Proposition 36? I don't know. I know that we recriminalized street drugs here last session, but it's yet to be seen if it's going to work. In fact, most people on the right wing side thinks that it's very weak attempts. Do you have any bead on that? I don't know if you've studied it over in Manhattan or not.
Yeah, what you've got to be willing to do is enforce the law against a whole host of crimes. Drugs are a main start because that was the real core of the argument. The war on drugs was racist. No, it wasn't. Guess who wanted stricter crack penalties? The Congressional Black Caucus. Before that, in the 50s and the 60s, it was black leaders in Harlem that were wanting stricter penalties on opium and heroin because they saw the crime it brought and the devastation to their neighborhoods. So, yes, you do have to start enforcing the law against drug dealing. People who live with drug trafficking in their neighborhoods know the oppression of having a drug set going on outside mm-hmm. of your door. But you also have to be willing to penalize theft, turnstile jumping, fare beating, trespass. Everything that's been unwinding in the criminal justice system for the last 20, 30 years, Bill, is all driven by one thing and one thing only, race. It's all because if you do enforce the law in a colorblind constitutional fashion, it will have a disparate impact on black criminals, not because the law is racist, but because the black crime rate is so high. If there were not those disparities in criminal offending and we didn't have the disparities in criminal incarceration, which we do have because of the black crime rate, nobody would be saying we've got to stop prosecuting. Nobody would say we've got to decriminalize. The response would be lock them up and throw away the key. But we're so worried about racial disparate impact that we've decided we would rather not enforce the law than enforce the law in a neutral, colorblind fashion and lock up more black criminals.
Heather MacDonald, Manhattan Institute scholar. So it's not a disparate impact. It's disparate behavior. Is the country ready to really go down that road and embrace it overall? Because I would imagine if you were saying this on CNN right now, they'd probably be screaming at you and talking about racism.
Well, you're absolutely right to be skeptical, Bill. You know, the facts are the facts. The bodies don't lie. When you allow black crime to go unpunished, the black victims build up. Black juveniles are shot at 100 times the rate of white juveniles in the post-George Floyd race riot era. 100 times. And who's shooting them? Not the cops, not whites, but other blacks. Blacks die of gun homicide between the ages of 10 and 24 at 25 times the rate of whites in that same age cohort. The bodies do not lie. But no, we are not willing to talk about the behavioral differences, the cultural differences. The country turns its eyes away from the tragic pathologies in the inner city and would rather blame itself for phantom racism than say we've got a real cultural problem here.
Is there a plan to turn around the pathology of the cities, as you put it, Heather?
Well, there's been many plans for decades, and so far they haven't worked. You know, many people know, at least on the conservative side, that the big key is revalorizing marriage. The breakdown of marriage in any community is catastrophic. It means that young males are raised without any expectation that they will have to take the primary responsibility in their lives, which is responsibility for their children that they procreate. Instead, it's assumed that they'll be serially procreating females and walking away. It's very hard to socialize somebody after that lesson has been sent. And the chaos of child rearing now, not just in the black community, but in a lot of the white underclass as well, is utterly heartbreaking. But that's a very hard thing to turn around. Feminists are determined to say that, well, strong women can do it all. Males are an afterthought. They're toxic. They're really an very, very optional in raising mm-hmm. children. That's a complete lie. children, on average, need their biological mothers and fathers. So if you can't turn that around, it's very hard. And the other, the relationship between males and females in the black community is very troubled. It's very tense. That's a hard thing to crack. Certainly, you need stronger schools. You need high expectations. Stop telling blacks to think of themselves as victims. So have them seize opportunity. Meet standards. Don't ask that the standards be lowered on your behalf.
Heather MacDonald is a Manhattan Institute scholar, of course, a famed author, too. We always appreciate you being on. The one thing I wanted to touch on, though, were the Republican-based sentencing reforms that were pushed during the first Trump administration, I kind of questioned that back at the time. And did that contribute to more of the urban pathologies that we've been having, you know, kind of going light? The Kim Kardashian approaches to the first Trump administration. Did you keep an eye on that out of curiosity?
You were absolutely right to question it, Bill. The real problem was not the lowering of sentences in itself. It was the rhetoric with which that was done, and it was Trump's signing on to the phony narrative that the blacks had been locked away for drugs and other crimes because of racism. And he tried to position himself as the savior of blacks, and I'm going to finally push back on a racist criminal justice system. That was what was poisonous. Frankly, you know, sentences are arbitrary, whether it's 12 years or 10 years or 8 years. If they were, you know, we'd lower them, and if they were that lowered number to begin with, nobody would be complaining. So I'm willing to have a debate about what the optimal sentence length is. I'm not willing to debate it in the name of racial justice.
All right. Any idea on where President Trump version 2.0 might go on this? I'm wondering, maybe he looks back and thinks, yeah, that didn't really work all that well.
Yeah, I sure hope so. He has not been sending, well, you know, during the campaign, he still was occasionally sending that message that, oh, I saved blacks, you know, we're all felons together, and I've seen that we over-incarcerate.
Yeah.
I hope he stops that. I hope he stops that. We have, you know, Jared and Ivanka, I think, are less involved.
I think they were pushing that. They were pushing that back at the time, weren't they, if I recall? They were the ones.
Right. And I think they're not maybe going to be as involved this year. He's had other statements that are, frankly, a little too law and orderish for my take. He's claimed that he wants to allow people who are the victims of crime to sue either prosecutors or police chiefs because they were victimized by crime. That is very tough. I mean, because causally trying to prove that any given policy resulted in your particular crime is going to be impossible. And, you know, we don't want to get rid of qualified immunity for the police officers. You know, whether we were going to do so for prosecutors, I don't know. But he has talked about revalorizing stop, question, and frisk. You know, the big thing is most law enforcement, those decisions are local. The feds don't have all that much of a say. The main issue is do not misuse the bully pulpit to demonize cops.
Good point. Manhattan Institute scholar Heather MacDonald, I know you have to travel a lot heading back to D.C. today, but thank you for taking a few minutes here on the show, all right? Be well. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Bill.
All right.
Thank you so much.
823 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Artisan Bakery Cafe invites you to swing by for their...
We proceed in beaming them off the planet.
Ground Zero.
Fascinating.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
825, Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass, still open, one of my oldest sponsors for helping people protect their savings. And I know we're feeling pretty happy about the new administration and thinking everything is all solved, but there are problems with United States finances that the big money is looking at, and they realize that there's a big debt crisis. In fact, it's an international debt crisis, not just the United States crisis, but a sovereign debt crisis baked in our cake. And there's going to be a lot of pain that would not be politically palatable. Both parties, and this includes even the Republicans coming in to control things over the next at least 2 years, are probably going to only be able to work at around the margins, okay? That's why Bank of America is even talking about gold being the last safe haven amid the rising U.S. national debt. There was an article I was talking about yesterday. It was in the Jerusalem Post. It was quite interesting. And gold actually did a little pullback during this amazing Trump rally from the stock market post-election last week. that is a nice buying opportunity here. If you're looking to do a little more stacking, talk with Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 6th and G, in downtown Grants Pass. And that's by appointment, 482-3715. And they'll help you, well, stack a little bit and get some of that thousands of years worth of gold and silver protecting wealth for yourself in your own personal possession. And hopefully you don't need it. Hopefully they're able to keep the plate spinning, but just in case, there's Jay Austin, okay? Jay Austin and Company, and you can find them on the web, fortunereserve.com. 27 after 8. Hello, Steve. Steve, good having you here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, our conversation the other day about the budget of the state of Oregon being 36% dependent on the federal government.
Yeah, and now you hear all these attorney generals talking about, hey, we're keeping an eye on the Trump administration. We're going to make sure that every dollar comes. You can tell what's going on here, right, where they're going.
Medicare is a good example of how this is failing, and most people who aren't on Medicare don't understand. And if you're young enough that you don't need routine medical care, you don't understand how our medical system is failing right now. If you don't have a primary care physician, you need to get one, because that's the key to being able to get care when you need it. And it's very difficult to find a primary care physician that will take you.
And the other challenge is also finding a specialist who has any availability. I can't tell you how many people will call me up saying, hey, I'm looking for a heart guy or this or that and the other. And it can be 6, 7, 8 months before you get in.
And the bureaucracy is so cumbersome that it's unbelievable. You know, my wife has lots of morbidities. That's the medical term for issues. And she has an insulin pump. And she had an appointment to see her doctor in July. And we went in and we had the blood tests. And okay, so the supplier of the equipment that she needs to keep her insulin pump going could not read the electronic signature on her doctor's prescription. Well, after a few weeks of trying to deal with that, I asked if I could find another supplier from this. Is I have to call the pump manufacturer, and they give me some other names, and so I get another company, and it just goes on and on and on. And by the time we got everything they needed, the blood tests that she had were past 90 days, and they couldn't use them. So,
and this is something which is systemic right now here, Steve. And I'm totally sympathetic to you. And it's kind of this it's the slow boil crisis going on behind the scene among many other crises that are hitting the country right now.
Another example of this is the BLM and Forest Service. They have absolutely destroyed our forests, and it's getting to the point there's not a lot left to burn. And so how are they going to maintain their budget? So they have to go re-burn places that burned before.
Oh, boy. Now you got to be started there. Hey, that'll help that sustainable tourism economic plan here for Southern Oregon. Thanks for the call, Steve. Let me go to Brad. Hey, Brad, how are you doing this morning, huh? What's on your mind?
Hey, Bill, good morning. Yeah. So, you know, great discussion with you and Herman about the nature of the, you know, voting patterns that we see. But the one thing that you know and a lot of people don't know is when you look at these state races, the majority of the funding for the progressives that are winning is not coming from Oregon. If you want to look at the, you know, the recent contest between Walt Lathrop and Dan Rayfield for attorney general, according to Oregon Catalyst, Will Lathrop's campaign was funded 96% from Oregonians, but 45% of Rayfield's money came from out of state.
And that's been the pattern. You can look at our gubernatorial elections. You can look at Secretary of State elections. You can look at treasurer elections. I mean, it's all the same thing. And like we have talked about before, though, Oregon is a small state, so is and has no limitations. There are absolutely no limitations on what you can donate. And this is where it bites us in the butt. I'm sure that the unions really love that. They must love that because they're able to purchase the state government which they wish.
Right. So this is where we remember that Oregon is the political laboratory for the left. And one of the benefits of that is that for a relatively small amount of money, they can easily control the outcomes for these state races.
So I would suggest then maybe this is something that is worthy of a ballot measure, a citizen ballot measure, in which let's say that outside contributions are limited to, say, $3,500 from any source. What would you think about that?
Well, I think some type of limitation makes sense. Whether you'd ever get it past our Oregon Supreme Court with its makeup would be a different thing. But everyone should understand that it isn't Oregonians that are funding and electing these progressives. It's not the people that live inside Oregon. It's these outside interests, and they need to maintain that control of the state offices so that they can continue to use our state as a political laboratory.
Well, part of taking back control of our state, then, though, is taking control of who actually helps elect our candidates, and that would be a good example, all right? Hey, appreciate the call there. Thanks for it, Brad. 770-5633. Let me grab another call before news. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Lauren, not Eagle Point.
Lauren, how are things? Go ahead.
Just got back from my 2.5-mile walk. So I wanted to talk to you earlier. But anyway, I had a couple experiences this last weekend that would have to do with what Trump ought to make people do on the Democratic side.
Yes.
That's the way to say it.
Okay, yeah. We were talking about trying to, you know, it appears that Trump is trying to, you know, put some olive branches here and there because, you know, he has to be able to govern the country. He's trying to knit together a very divided nation at this point. And,
for sure.
And you can't sell out your side in order to placate the left, but there are some things that could be smart that he might be able to do. What are you thinking about that, huh?
Well, couple examples. I was in church Sunday. Somebody said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing really good because Tuesday was a wonderful day." I was talking to a gentleman. Mm-hmm. About that time, his wife got up from a chair and walked over to me and said, "Did you vote for him?" And I said, "Why? Yes, I did. Why?" She said, "Well, he caused that January 6th situation." And I said, "No, that's not true. That's not true." Well, lie number one there. Then I was at the Veterans Day Parade, the ceremony here. I don't know. I was on TV on Channel 12 for that deal, but it's another story. But I was sitting next to a lady, and people came to the table, sat across to me where we're eating, and they were all pumped up about Tuesday. And this lady said, "Well, I'm not happy about it at all." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, why not?" And she said, "Because he's going to take away my Social Security." And these horrible lies.
In other words, these idiots actually believe the rhetoric. They believe the narrative.
That's exactly. And somebody has to call the Dems and the left to accountability for lying. This lady was 83 years old. She had lost her husband last year. She didn't want to lose the church. Well, neither do I. But at the same time, it's not going to happen. It would never happen in this country, as far as I know.
Oh, you want to talk about the third rail? Of course, I have to tell you then, you know, when I was just talking about the Jay Austin thing about gold and how you look at the finances of the United States, how there's a lot of crises built into the cake right now that's going to be very difficult. And one of those being Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, you know?
Yeah. Money's not there, I know that.
Yeah, but yet, you know, politically, it would be a disaster to even attempt to take that away from a senior citizen.
I said to this lady, "I'll bet you $500 that I don't even have right now that you'll never get your Social Security taken." She said, "That's not enough." Exact words.
She's not a cheap gambler. Okay. All right. Thanks, Lauren. Man, that's wild. That's wild. Okay, take my Social Security away. Well, I tell you. And yet here it is. I'm expecting Social Security at some point, assuming that when the boss comes in and kicks me out of here, you know, at some point, you know, he says, "All right, Bill, we're going to put you off the pasture. There you go. I'll be on Social Security, and I'm hoping it's there too. And I'll be out there yelling for my benefits, I guess." And yet it's a problem. Although I have to tell you, Medicare is in much worse shape than Social Security. It's 836. Hi, KMED. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hello, Francine.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I was listening to Steve talking about how much trouble he's having getting things accomplished through his, you know, through the Medicare. Of course, I'm on Medicare as well.
Yeah.
And I actually left my primary care provider because she was, like, so overwhelmed. She was not really... She was, you know, dropping the ball a little bit.
I think they're all overwhelmed right now.
Well, they are. But I went and I found a smaller
group that where the, it's almost all nurse practitioners. And I know a lot of people go, oh, no, I need a real doctor. But
well, here's the problem about the real doctor thing. I mean, I kind of felt the same way. I've jokingly said that the doctors in the system right now are my imaginary friends. You see them maybe once a year at best, right?
Okay, here's what I want to explain.
Okay.
That, you know, that might help people.
All right.
Okay, so these are, you know, I see two different people, and they're in small medical, well, they're actually, you know, parts of a large medical corporation, and they have little offices all over the place, you know, like there's two or three of them in here in our area, you know, Medford, and they're in Ashland, and there's some going out towards Eagle Point. I've seen this, you know, the other offices and stuff. So they're out there and they're available. The nurse practitioners, people think like, oh, they're not as good. Well, actually, they're really good. But here's the real difference. The nurse practitioners that I've come across, they listen to me. They listen to what I have to say. They listen to what I need, and they even listen to what I want. And if there's been a few times when, you know, they sent me somewhere and it just didn't work out, you know, it wasn't what I was looking for or what I needed, or they didn't perform right, I let them know and boom, they got me sent me to somebody else. And people need to start, you know, looking into that a little bit and with an open mind.
In other words, don't be afraid of the nurse practitioner trend.
Don't be, because they're very efficient and they know what they're doing. And I've sat there and talked with, you know, with one of my two providers and asked her something, and she wasn't quite sure how to answer that. And she got online and looked and looked and looked. And I sat there for like 5 minutes while she looked. And then when my appointment was over, you know, I'd been in there for like over 40 minutes.
All right. Appreciate the suggestion. Thank you very much for that. 770-5633. It's 839. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. So if you want to line up for that, 770-5633. We'll do that. We're going to have some fun with it. Always like that. Hi, good morning. You're the final call before news. Then we're going to do the quiz. Who's this?
This is Joe.
Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was wondering if anybody has looked into or if there's any observation regarding all these illegals that were let into our country and then wined and dined and put up in expensive hotels to encourage them to vote the right way. It'll be 2 months before President Trump gets into office, and these people, if the left just cuts them off, the deep state just cuts them off from all their money and their room and board, aren't they apt to start getting real hungry and possibly mean?
It's a possibility. I already think this is happening to an extent. You know, you now hear that Eric Adams, Mayor Eric Adams, you know him, New York, is they're no longer providing benefits right now on the debit cards for the illegal aliens that have ended up just showing up there. So, you know, a little bit of this may already be starting to happen. Maybe some of the milk of human kindness is being taken away. So this could be a real problem, then, you're thinking. This is your concern, right?
Yeah.
Huh. I'll take a look and see if I can find out more about it. I can't really speak to it. I haven't heard anybody really reporting on such matters. It may become a thing at some point, all right? 770-5633, Diner 62 Real American Quiz. We'll have that after news, okay? Love to get you on. And by the way, last 2 weeks, Diner 62 has delivered on Friday. They delivered me a breakfast, but last 2 weeks, it's been hot open-faced sandwiches. And I had the turkey one week, and I had the pot roast sandwich with mashed potatoes and brown gravy, and with mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce. It's all in there. They have that on special right now through the holidays, okay? All your hearty breakfast favorites are there, the omelets, the skillets, the waffles, the biscuits, and the gravy, and you could win one of those next with a $20 gift certificate, okay? 770-5633. All I ask is that you have not won it in the last 60 days. Good luck.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, their U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit ValleyViewNursery.com. They're closer than you think.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A man with a criminal history of violence is accused of two shootings Friday morning in Central Point that left a man dead and a woman fighting for her life from a gunshot wound. William Carl Frombach of Medford was arrested about 30 minutes after the two shootings. One of the victims, Bynum Devery, was found dead inside a residence. The unnamed second victim was shot in the head when Frombach was allegedly trying to steal her car. Grants Pass is losing health care provider AllCare. AllCare's Pace Center provides health care and social activities for senior citizens and will shutter at the end of the year. A number of factors contributed to the closure, including difficulty recruiting and retaining medical providers. Ranked choice voting in Portland was a failure. Ranked choice promised to boost the number of people who cast ballots. The opposite was true. 20% left their preferences for mayor and city council blank and didn't rank a single candidate to represent them, far more than the share who sat out city council contests in the previous two election cycles. Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com. As the Fontana Roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition.
Composite. Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader, is here for all of your firearm needs. With Measure 114 headed back to court this month, Good Guys Guns is dedicated to serving their customers and is doing everything possible to ensure customers get the firearms and accessories they need. Good Guys will expedite all background checks to get you approved quickly. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader, 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Visit Good Guys Guns today. That's Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
And we're going to put a little coffee in us and do the Diner 62 quiz, Real American. It's for Real American quiz, right? Hey, by the way, at the Diner 62, remember Clam Chowder Friday. So good, you'll hear the Surf and Seagulls, too. And we have the first of two Carols online here. We have, hello, Carol Nubson.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay.
Good. All right. I think you played here for a while. Maybe you'll be a winner. I don't know. But it was yesterday. It was yesterday in history, Carol. November 11th, 1942. The draft age was lowered to 18. Okay. And Congress approved lowering the draft age to 18. They also raised the upper limit to age 37. A couple of years earlier in September 1940, Congress, by a wide margin, passed the Burke-Wadsworth Act, and the first peacetime draft was imposed, but it was on men between the ages of 21 and 36. But by November of 1942, in the war, not nearly a bystander that was neutral, the draft ages had to be expanded. 18 to 37-year-olds now eligible. By the end of the war, Carol, about 34 million men had registered. What percentage of those 34 million who signed up for the draft were taken into the military? Was it A, 9%? B, 19%, C, 29%, D, 39%, or was it E, 49% of everyone who signed up for the draft? How many served?
Oh.
It's just a guess. I had no idea.
I had to take a guess. B?
I was wrong. What's that, Em?
How about B?
Was it 19%? No, it wasn't.
Nope.
I'm sorry. Just pulling for you. Let's see if maybe Raina has better luck at this. Hi, Raina. How you doing?
Hello.
So, Are we talking 9%, 29%, 39%, or 49% of all the men who signed up for the draft ended up getting drafted in World War II?
29%.
29%, Raina. It's a good day for you.
You're a winner!
You got it, Raina. In 1940, there were some 20 million eligible young men. About half of them were rejected the very first year, either health reasons or because 20% who were registered were illiterate.
That,
you know, that could be a problem even today, come to think of it, but I digress.
I think there's 29% that are illiterate now.
Yeah, exactly. During the war years, 10 million had been inducted into the military, according to data from the National World War II Museum. About 61% of the U.S. military during World War II were draftees, meaning a whole bunch of the soldiers were conscripted. That was a big, big percentage of it, okay? So congratulations, off to Diner 62 with you. Hang on.
Woohoo!
Okay. We'll have another one of these on Thursday. 770-5633. Still a little bit of open phone time if you want to squeeze it in.
When it's time for a new roof, think beyond shingles.
BNHearing.com.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, and I'm on KMED.
It's 10 before 9, 770-5633, 770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. There was one story that I heard on the news coming in. I was listening to it on this morning with Gordon Deal, rather. Nearly 80,000 pounds of Costco butter has been recalled. I'm thinking, wow, okay. Now, I've purchased butter in the past from Costco. I've done that. Yeah, I'm thinking, all right, I'm listening. So what is this, Listeria? Some kind of contamination problem? No. The only reason 80,000 pounds of butter is being recalled from Costco is because it's missing a statement. Contains milk. Contains milk. Is that one of the dumbest recalls in history? Because it doesn't have the statement, contains milk. This is a serious question I'm posing to you. Now, I know the whole idea is that there are people with dairy allergies. With dairy allergies. And if you don't tell them that the butter has milk in it, there could be dairy allergy problems there. But wait a minute. Every aspect of making butter involves using milk. Scuba Steve next door through the window, he's laughing at me. Yeah, that's the first thing I'm thinking. It'd be kind of like, well, we have a bag of walnuts and it's been, and we're having to recall them because it doesn't say it contains nuts. You know those kind of warnings that you see here? Is this just another indicator of the idiocracy that the United States has become, that we take 80,000 pounds of Costco butter and we have to take it off the shelves because it doesn't say contain milk? To me, it was the dumbest thing. So there's my pebble in the shoe this morning. The dumbest recall in it's no contamination. Just says doesn't say contains milk. Couldn't you just go take a little Dymo labeler or maybe even just a sticker and just put it on it, contains milk, contains milk, contains milk, contains milk. Couldn't you just write on it, contains milk? Get out a Sharpie and go in the Costco warehouse, contains milk, milk, milk. By the way, butter made from milk. Okay. I'll be okay now. I really will be. This was an example of why America doesn't work anymore when you see a story like this. Now, I will tell you, though, that there's a related story. I'm over at my mother's house, and I'm getting her new computer and getting it all set up. And I dropped in, and there was a friend of her who did a little shopping and dropped off it's a one-pound container. My mother's all into organic food, all this kind of stuff. And so she likes organic butter. And so Melissa, her friend, ends up bringing this in and dropping it off. And it's organic plant-based butter spread. Now, Mom says, is this butter? And I said, No. The moment that they say plant-based spread, butter is not made from plant-based anything. Except for the milk and cream that comes out of the cow that ate the plants that ended up converting it into something more suitable for human consumption, which is the way we normally tend to prefer, you know, consuming butter. Butter, not plant-based. Plant-based butter, just remember, folks, plant-based butter, it's a vegan thing. Plant-based butter is the equivalent of eco detergent. Eco this, eco boost on the cars, right? Eco boost turbocharger doesn't work. In other words, replacement for displacement, that kind of thing. Eco doesn't work. High efficiency, not efficient. Plant-based butter, not butter. Okay? My mother is very disappointed. I'm going to have to go to the store and actually bring her real butter with, I'll probably be able to buy it because it says contains milk. How did we ever survive as a nation this long? So there's my boulder in the shoe, the Costco butter recall. But anyway, hi, who's this? Good morning. Good morning, caller. Welcome.
Good morning, Brother Bill.
Hello, brother, from another Slovenian mother, Brad.
Hey, I don't know if you know it, but that stuff you were talking about, that kind of peanut butter.
I was talking about, you know, it's plant-based butter spread. You know, they can't call it butter. It's not real butter. It just isn't. Okay.
There's a side benefit to that stuff. They don't show it on the label, but I know you can. It's great for putting on cement, like if your car's leaking oil, it'll take that right off the cement.
So you just take it on there. So you can use it as an industrial. You can use it as an industrial lubricant. Now, come to think of it, though, that organic plant-based butter spread that my mother ended up getting, how could that be all that different from the evil margarine?
Yeah, dude. I mean, hey, I got something to share with you real quick.
Sure.
It's a sad story, but this just happened. It made local news pretty big. But a friend of mine left church Sunday on Highway 99.
Oh, was he the gentleman in that accident? Oh,
yeah,
no.
A friend of mine was the guy that got killed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What
was his name again?
Brian Foreman.
That's right.
And his buddy, Tim, was driving the vehicle. But this is kind of a sad deal. The car that hit them was going at a very high rate of speed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you saw any of the pictures, but it just looked like a garbage truck hit my buddy's rig.
Oh, yeah.
Just tore it up.
Yeah, I think it was a Camry, right? It was only a Camry that hit the truck.
Yeah, I think so. I couldn't tell what the hell it was. It was pretty beat up, too. But this is the two things that are crazy about this. And my buddy that was driving, he's fairly attentive. But, you know, it's just the way people drive anymore. It's just a wake-up call, man. For those of us who are out running around, put the safety goggles on, man.
There is a little bit. It's very easy to get into a tunnel vision. By the way, was he coming out of a light, or was it controlled by a light, or was it controlled by?
You know, there's a road right next to the Table Rock Church that I go to.
Yeah.
Ellendale, I think. That was the one he was coming out of, and they were headed, I think, south, or at least that's the turn they were making. And this kid was heading north and ran into him. This is the crazy part of the story. A friend of mine was there right mm-hmm. after it happened. And all this kid that hit him could think of was his frickin' cell phone.
Really?
Yeah. That was first-hand commentary from the guy that did the damage.
Boy, that is that's a real pathology in our country. I think I understand why so many of the schools are talking about trying to rein that in, because it really is a sickness in there. I'm so sorry for your friend. I'm also sorry for the family of Elizabeth Hardley, too. You know Elizabeth Hardley?
My son-in-law is a policeman with Central Point.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I just wanted to say that GoFundMe is up to $33,000, $34,000 that they have for her. She's still in ICU.
Awesome.
Okay. Hey, got to go, my friend. I'm out of time in 9 seconds, but thanks for showing that. And, boy, very sorry for your friend and what happened. That was really something. 858 at KMED.